Let's come. So how many of you guys know Joel? Yes. If you came on Tuesday nights, you would have heard Joel speak to us some time ago in our theology, and he's good. Yep. And there is no pressure. It's absolutely gold. You've got a lot here. So I'm just going to pray for Joel, and you're just going to enjoy this. All right? Father, I just thank you so much for what you've done for us. I thank you that what you've done for us is just the start. We've only scratched the surface of what you've got for us. I just pray for Joel as he begins to unpack some of the truths that we need to hear and get into our hearts. Just help us to hear and to respond in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, are we on? You hear me? I always feel a bit like Britney Spears when we got one of these on. Okay, today we're going to be carrying on with the topic series we've been doing on No Limits. And we're going to be looking at No Limits to Our Hope. And so to do that, we're going to kind of break it down into four questions and try and answer each of those questions to try and understand what it is. Our first one is, what is hope? Then we're going to look at what is our hope as Christians. Then how do we get hope? And lastly, well, what do we do with it? So in the spirit of Kevin, I asked St. Google, what does hope mean? And it says, hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. And as I was looking at that, I thought, you know what, there's almost like two types of hope. There's like desire, like I want this to happen, and expectation, I know this is going to happen. Now, personally, I like going to the beach. Anyone else like the beach? I know you're a bit far inland here in Hexham, aren't we? So, but the beach is great, and you know, when I go to the beach, I'll probably say something to Rach, like, I hope it doesn't rain. Because you don't have as much fun on the beach when it's chucking it down, do you? So I say that, and, you know, I don't have any guarantee that it's not going to rain. I just want it to not rain. That's all I want. I just want it to not rain, and that's it. And, you know, you might say something like that to a friend. If a friend of yours is going to have a job interview, you might say, oh, I hope you get that job. You've got no guarantee that they will. You might say, hope you have a nice day. Got no guarantee. It could be a really bad day for that person. But you want them to have a good day. And so that's kind of like the first type of hope. And it's just wanting something to happen without any guarantee that it's going to happen at all. And a bit of a story about this. Should I have the next slide up? This is a camera. And when I was at university 10 years ago, feels ages away now, I got quite into photography. I was studying biology, so I was taking lots of pictures of plants. You know, I'm an absolute geek, I know. But taking lots of pictures, and my mum has a camera a bit like this. And so when I went home for the summer holidays, I'd take her camera out, and I would take pictures using it. I loved it. It's absolutely brilliant. So to celebrate graduating from uni, mum and dad said they would take me out for a meal, and they were going to get me a present. And so instantly I'm thinking, oh, what would I like as a present? I know, I'd love a camera like that. And so we go out for the meal. We go to a nice Indian restaurant and everything's great and, you know, really nice meal. And then my mum reaches down into her bag and gets out. I'm thinking, yes, this is it. This is when I get my camera. And she gets a box out and the box is this big. I'm thinking, oh, my camera's not going to fit in there, is it? And it turned out they got me a pair of cufflinks, which were lovely, were really, really nice. But if when you're expecting like a camera like that and you get a pair of cufflinks, you have to kind of just put a really nice smile on your face, which I did. I've told them about it, it's all right, it's not a surprise to them. But you know what? I had no basis for that hope of getting a camera. Because I hadn't said anything to my mum and dad about, I want a camera. And my mum and dad hadn't said anything to me that they were going to get me a camera. It was all me just wanting it. But you know what? That type of hope is not the type of hope that the Bible talks about when it talks about hope. When the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about expectant hope. When you know something is going to happen and you wait for it. So last night, we couldn't really be bothered with tea, so we got some bagels out and had some bagels, and we like to toast them. So we put them in the toaster, pushed the button down, and then I went to the fridge and got the butter out. And you know what? That's almost like hope is. I put the bagels in the toaster, pushed it down, and I was expecting that in about a minute, 2 minutes' time, some point, I was going to have fresh, hot toast. So I got ready for it. I went and got the butter out. And another example here, a bit closer to heart. These are my two boys, Toby and Teddy. And when Rach was pregnant, there he is. When Rach was pregnant with them, we were expecting them. You know, we couldn't see them. We didn't know when exactly they were going to come, but we knew they would come. And so, obviously, if you're expecting a baby, you try and get ready for it. So you buy a Moses basket, you buy clothes, you buy muslins. You try and brace yourself for what you don't know is going to happen. Because Toby was 42 weeks, so he was 2 weeks overdue. And Teddy was 35 weeks, he was 5 weeks prem. And so we just completely were not expecting that. But, you know, this is the type of hope that God's talking about in the Bible. It's not a, ooh, it'd be lovely if that happened, wouldn't it? It's a, actually, I know something's going to happen, and I'm going to go get ready for it. So, if that's biblical hope, if biblical hope is knowing what's going to happen and waiting for it, then what is our hope? If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 21? And this should be right at the end of your Bible. The very, very end. It's like the penultimate chapter. And we're going to read from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5. And just a bit of background about this book. God shows up and speaks to a guy called John and shows him what's going to happen in the future. Uses lots of imagery and pictures and prophetic things that sometimes it can be really hard to understand. But at the end, God deals with everything that's wrong with the earth, everything that's wrong. And then we have this passage. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" So, three core things to draw from this passage about what our hope is. Firstly, God's going to dwell with us. That's verse 3. You know, we're right at the end of the Bible. If you cast your mind back to the very, very beginning, in the first few chapters, it talks about God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden before things went wrong. God's going to restore that. He's going to make it so that we can dwell and there's no separation between us and God at all. Second part, he's going to get rid of suffering. He's going to end it. That's our hope. We're not there yet, but that's our expectation that one day we will get there. And finally, the third one, God will make all things new. And that's why there's no limit to our hope. Because when he says all things, he means all things. And so we can kind of sum those three things up like this. What's our hope? Our hope is heaven on planet Earth. That's our hope. That's what we're looking forward to. That is what we are expecting. We don't know when. We don't quite know how. But we can know that that is what God is going to do. It doesn't really take that long to look around and find something wrong with the world, does it? I mean, there's stuff that's wrong in my life. I go to work. I work as a teacher. And there's staff have got things wrong in their lives. The kids have as well. And that's just like on a very small local level. If you look at the national and the international, you see like the huge like Syrian refugee crisis and all the other things going on like that. But you know what? There's no limit to what God can fix. None at all. There's no limit to what God can make new, and there is absolutely no situation too big for God to change. There's no limit on heaven on earth. Now, if you go to someone in the street and you say, would you like there to be peace on earth? Would you like it to be all problems to go away? They'd probably say, yeah, I'd like that. But that's a bit like the camera. That's a bit like wanting something to happen, but not really having any foundation to it or substance to it. So how do we know that's what's going to happen? Is it just a desire or is it an expectation? And so to try and help us understand how we get that from being just a, oh, I want this to happen, but I'm not sure if it will, to a, actually, you know what? I know this is going to happen. I am convinced that God is going to bring heaven on earth. And so we're going to ask ourselves the question, how do we get hope? I'm going to put a verse on the board. You don't need to turn to it at the moment. It is 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 to 22. And it says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, Rachel and I, as some of you know, we are currently living in Durham. We are trying to move to Hexham. And my brother-in-law is a mortgage broker, so we're talking to him about rates and deposits and all this kind of stuff. But you know, when you are applying for a mortgage, a deposit is a really important thing because it shows to the bank or building society, whoever it is, that you are serious and that you are committed to paying off the rest of the value of the house. It's like you giving them a guarantee that you're going to pay them back all the money they've lent you. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is like God's deposit to us. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that actually heaven will come on earth. And we get that guarantee put in us as the living Holy Spirit. Our hope from God is heaven on planet Earth, and God's given us that guarantee by giving us his spirit. And it's like we get something of God and something of heaven in us as a taster and as a guarantee of this is what's going to happen. You get to experience it now. So, you know when I talked about the toast and my two boys, it was like I was expecting both of those things to happen. So I got ready for them. You know, got the butter out for the toast, or I get the Moses basket for the kids. If our hope and our expectation is heaven on earth, what do we do with that hope? Because you've got to do something. If you know heaven's going to come to earth, you've got to do something to kind of get ready for that. And I think there's two things we do. First one is we pray. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer, there's that really famous line. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what that's kind of saying is, okay, we know in the future it's going to be completely heaven on earth. Right now, it's not yet. But as we pray, we kind of join those two things together and make it so this is how it's going to be. You know, it's really encouraging this morning hearing Kevin and Lewis and Caitlin have been praying for people and people getting healed. That's God's kingdom coming. That's his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the first encouragement is to pray. You know, as I said, Rachel and I are trying to move house, and we had an initial very low offer, and since then we've had 2 weeks of no interest whatsoever, and we're really itching to move because we've found a house in Hexham that we love. So we started to pray more, but then we got 2 phone calls on Friday, and we had 2 house viewings yesterday, which were really, really positive, and just that really helped us. That gave us hope. We can expect something. You know, we are expectant. We believe we're going to move into Hexham, but sometimes we still need to pray it in as well. And the second thing is, if we've got this hope, we need to hold on to it. And we can do that by holding on to God's words and his promises. Because sometimes you pray and something happens like that. And other times you can pray and it looks like nothing's happened. And it could be that that situation is there for years and years and years. So how do you keep your hope in those situations? Well, to give you an example, when Rachel and I first got married, we moved straight into Durham to start the church plant there. And before we moved, we felt God say that moving to Durham would mean having a baby. And that baby would be an open door into the community. And I also had a picture of our child leading worship. And that was Toby. But as he developed, he was very different to the other children. As some of you who don't know Toby, Toby has severe autism. He's nonverbal, has learning difficulties and challenging behavior. So not kind of what we expected when God said an open door and leading worship. And Rachel was trying to run a toddler group at the time, and Toby would scream so much that she couldn't talk to people. He would try and escape the room. We couldn't really have people around for tea or coffee because he just couldn't cope with other people coming in the house. And so we were really frustrated because, like, God said, you're going to have someone who's going to be an open door into the community. And we're like, yeah, God, that's not at all. Toby just is not that whatsoever. So we kept going back to that word. And it was often the kind of moaning way, like, come on, God. You said this, and this is what's happened. But, you know, we've realized that actually Toby is an open door into the community, just completely not how we expected. Loads of people in our village know who Toby is because of his additional needs. And we've had great opportunities to work with parents of children with additional needs that we would never have been able to do otherwise. So holding on to the promise of God takes time, and it can be frustrating. But we wait with the expectation, we hold it before God, we keep coming back to him, and we will see it eventually. And you know, I thought I'd seen a picture of what I thought would be Toby playing guitar. And, you know, Toby can't play the guitar, no chance. But we found out when we went to a parents' evening one time that at the end of the school day, they have communal worship in the classroom just to finish things off. And Toby absolutely loves it. He loves it so much that the staff will let him go onto the interactive whiteboard and choose the songs for the rest of the class to listen to. And as the songs play, he dances and jumps and flaps and claps. And he leads the staff and the other 5 boys in the classroom in worship. That's completely not how we thought it would be. I thought he'd be up here somewhere, like at some point in the future. But he's doing it. And it's like we hold on to the promises of God, and we don't know what it's going to look like, but we leave that up to him. And so God gives us words, God gives us promises to hold on to, because in the midst of things, it can get tough and it can get hard. The promises keep us going. Now, anyone in here a football fan? Okay. So apologies if you're a Newcastle or Middlesbrough supporter. This is Liverpool. I'll be really impressed if anybody knows what this is. Champions League, well done. In what year? Where? Well done. Top marks. So let me just translate that for those of you not fluent in football. The Champions League is basically where all the top clubs from all the countries around Europe play off against each other. It's like, we know who's best in this country, but who's the best of the best out of the whole of Europe. So it is a very, very prestigious title. And I just want to use this story of this match as an example to why we should keep holding on to the hope that God's given us. Now, Liverpool, obviously quite high up in our league, and they'd made it through into the Champions League. And do you know what? They'd won all the matches going through, and they'd made it to the final. Now, can you imagine being a supporter? Your team has made it through to the final of one of the best football cups there is. And so what you decide to do is you decide, right, you're going to take time off work, you're going to pay for the flights, you're going to pay for the hotel and for the food, and you're going to pay through the nose for the tickets to the match. And you put loads and loads of effort into going there. And you know that Liverpool are the underdogs, but you want to stand by them and support them. And you get there, and after 1 minute, Milan score. And you're just like, oh, come on. And by half time, you are 3-0 down. Can you imagine how that would feel? You've invested so much into going to watch your team, and it just looks like Milan are wiping the floor with them. And you know what? At halftime, some of the fans walked out because they just didn't want to see their team get absolutely creamed. But I don't know what was said to the team in the locker room at halftime, but when they came back out, they were a different team. 54 minutes in, Gerrard scores a goal, and it gives them some hope. And they start going for it, and in 6 minutes, they score another 2 goals, which means that by halfway through the second half, it's 3-3. And it's all to play for. And Liverpool are back in the game. But you know, if it being a final, you can't just have a draw. Somebody's got to win. And so they went to extra time. And by the end of extra time, it was still 3-3. So they had to go to penalties. And you can imagine at this point, you know, it's going down to penalties. If you had any fingernails to begin with, you'd have nothing now, okay? Because you've just experienced what is, you were like completely not doing anything. You were totally losing. And now you're coming back and there's just this little chance that you might just win it. And they did. 3-2 on penalties. And you can imagine the crowd going absolutely mental. But can you imagine what it must have been like to be one of those fans who walked out at half-time? You would have been absolutely kicking yourself because you put all that effort into it and they did it, but you walked out. You didn't see it. And you know, our lives could be a little bit like that. God has given us the end score. We win. Okay? We win. Now, if those fans had known, if they had expected Liverpool to win, they wouldn't have walked out. They would have gone through that hard part of being 3-0 down, everything looks like it's going completely wrong, because they would have known that Liverpool were going to win. And that's like how it is for us. Sometimes in life, imagine it was a game of football, you can feel like you're 3-0 down or you're 10-0 down and nothing's going right. But actually, we have a hope. We know what the end score is going to be. We know that we win. We know that God is going to get rid of suffering. He's going to dwell with us. He's going to make all things new. And that helps us keep going. That helps us keep holding on. And so I want to offer a little bit of time for response. If we could have the band up, that'd be great. Firstly, if you don't know God and you want this hope, when I invite you to come up to the front and someone can have a chat with you and pray with you. Or if you're feeling like one of those fans who was at halftime and you'd lost your hope and you want to get your hope back, one of us will come and we'll stand with you and we'll pray with you to hold on to that hope. And if life's tough and you feel like you are holding on but you just need a bit of encouragement, it's going from 3-0 to 4-0 to 5-0 to 6-0 and it's getting worse and you just need to be encouraged in God and helped to hold on to him, we'd love to pray for you. The band are going to sing Cornerstone, and one of the lines in there is, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.